All right, praise the Lord. The message that I've got planned is not going to be very long, I don't think, unless the Holy Spirit guides me otherwise. The thing about a lot of Christians, a pastor got me thinking one day when I heard this message. He referred to some Christians, he referred to them as Christian atheists. Now, you know what an atheist is, right? Person who doesn't believe in God. Well, a Christian atheist, in his opinion, is people who say they believe in God, but they live as if there isn't one. Now, you got to think about that. You say you believe in God, but then you live as if there isn't one. And so I started thinking about, well, are there any areas in my life to where I am like that? Are there places where I don't trust God? And sometimes we don't trust Him for our finances. Sometimes we don't trust Him to put food on the table. We don't trust Him for the taking care of us. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can say that, you know what? I don't trust God in this area of my life. I don't know what it might be for you, but it was kind of eye-opening to me because I realized that there were areas in my life to where I didn't completely surrender to the Lord. And I'm like you. When you come to church, you don't want it to be boring. God forgive all of us preachers who've ever made sermons boring. But you don't want it to be boring because you want to seek after God. Well, you know, I titled the message, He Is, because it's going to come out of Hebrews. But before, I wanted to mention that about Christian atheists, because people who say there is a God but live as if there is none, you know, it's almost what you would call an oxymoron. That's not what a Christian does. A Christian who believes in God will put their trust and will put their hope in God. And sometimes we get so distracted, we get so frenzied, we get so busy in our daily lives, no matter what it is. I know my days can get hectic. You work in a doctor's office, so your days can get hectic. All of us can get hectic, and then we tend to live, or at least we don't commune with God like we should. So that's the part I'm talking about. We don't commune with God. So we live as if there is none. And so there is a scripture from James 2:19. You know, you can say there's a God. Thou believest there is one God. Well, you do well. Thou doest well. The devils also believe. And what? They tremble. But are they saved? No. Not saved. There's a lot of people out here who say, you know what, I believe in God. In fact, there was a poll, I think, by the Barna Group. They took a poll, and I think they stated that about 80% or 70 at least, but I think they said 80% of Americans claim to be Christians. Do you believe that number? I don't think I do. I don't think we could have 80% of our country be following Christ, and that's what a Christian is. They're a Christ follower. You follow Christ and allow for abortions, you know, and allow for laws to be passed for aborting babies after they're born, which boggles my mind. I don't even know how that's possible. It's called infanticide. That's where you're killing a baby. I feel so sorry for whoever mentioned the woman who had a baby lasted 3 minutes, you know, that's sad. My very eldest sister, she would have been my eldest sister, Wanda Faye, she died at 6 months old of pneumonia. My mama never got over that. No, she never got over that. And she would have been my eldest sister. So I come from a family, really, of six. But I have five in my family, so there's four siblings. But she would have been my very eldest. But my mama never got over that. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just one of those things where after 6 months, she began to wonder, you know, why? Why did this have to happen to me? You know, and what did I do wrong? Sometimes people blame themselves. You know, what did I do wrong? Poor Caleb, the other day, I don't know if y'all know this about him. We try not to tell too many times, but Caleb tends to catch things. If there's a virus going around, he tends to catch it. If there's something else going on, he tends to get it. But he was asking the other day, why does all these things happen to me? Now, you know, his elbow, you know his elbow's broke, right? He's in a brace. He's in a sling. I feel so sorry for the little guy because he is. He's one of the most loving little children I've ever seen. And so when we start thinking about the Lord, the first thing you have to do is believe that there is one God. Okay? That's moving away from that atheist part. But what makes people an atheist type is if you live as if there is no God. So you have to put trust in the Lord. And that's where this scripture comes in. And that's what I want to talk about for a little bit. So let's start breaking this down. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, now starting there, how much faith did Jesus say you needed? Yeah, he really never said how much you need. He just said, if you have as much as a small of a grain of mustard seed, and I don't know if you know this, but a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that you can find. But the thing is, it can grow up into kind of a pretty big plant. But it's a very tiny, tiny, tiny thing. So he said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, so just a little bit, you could do what? Move mountains. You know, I mean, you could say this tree can be plucked up and be thou removed and cast into the sea. He said it a couple of different ways, depending on which gospel you look at. So faith was something that he always marveled at when people had lots of it. The woman who touched the hem of his garment had lots of faith, because who in their right mind would believe that just touching clothes would heal her of something, of an affliction for 12 years. She spent all of her living. Well, nobody in their right mind, that's the thing. But she believed, she had faith. And then others, the centurion comes to mind. He had a sick servant, was about to die, and he came to Jesus. And even the Jews defended the centurion. Now, you got to understand, the Romans were the captors of the Jews, okay? So they were basically ruling the Jews. But he felt sorry for them. He had sympathy, and maybe even empathy for the Jews. And they even said he's worthy because he what? He built them a synagogue. And he loved the Lord. But he also knew he was a Gentile. So Jesus said, okay, I'll go with you and I'll go heal him. He went, oh, no, 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 no. Just say the word. He said, I'm a man, you know, of authority. And I know what it's like to tell somebody to do something. They do it. The centurion told Jesus, don't come to my house, because he knew he would be considered unclean and he would have probably taken a lot of flack from the Pharisees and the rest of the Jews who thought he shouldn't go there. But Jesus was willing to go anyway. That's what I love about Jesus. And when the man said, you know what, just say the word and it'll happen, Jesus turned around and he goes, you know what, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. I mean, here it is coming from a Gentile, no less. And he's saying, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. Yeah. And that's real cool. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, this him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There's another one of those King James verses. It means he exists. You must believe he exists. But you can't just believe he exists because the devils do too. And they tremble because they know for sure they've seen him. Now, I haven't seen Jesus like Thomas when he was missing from the 12 when Jesus arrived. And then Jesus showed back up and Thomas was there. And I remember reading, and I feel sorry for Thomas because we always called him Doubting Thomas. But if you go back further in that same book in the scripture, when Jesus was going back to raise Lazarus from the dead, you got to understand they were just trying to kill Jesus right before that. So Jesus left and they didn't kill him, of course. But Jesus waited it out after he found out that Lazarus was sick. That was the one whom he loved. That's what they said, the one whom he loved. And when Jesus said, well, I'm going back, they reminded him. They said, hey, don't you know they tried to kill you? They wanted to kill you. And usually they would throw you off a cliff and try to stone you and do all kinds of things. But Jesus said, I'm going anyway. Thomas was the one who spoke up and said, let us all go. Said, I'm going with him to die with him. We don't read that part. All we read is where Thomas wasn't at the first meeting when Jesus showed up in the room. Thomas wasn't there. And I can speculate, I can't say this is scripture, and I won't say it's scripture, but I believe Thomas invested all he had into Jesus Christ. And when he died, I believe his hopes were dashed. I think he had lost hope. Because how do you kill the Messiah? I mean, I don't think he could process it in his mind. So for whatever reason, we're not told, he was not with the rest of them. Okay? Judas had already killed himself. And Thomas was off somewhere else, so that left 10. So he wasn't with the 10. And he finally, when he did show up, he said, I won't believe, and this is something about Thomas, he said, unless I can put my finger in the nail prints and I can put my hand in the side, so he must have seen, maybe from afar off like Peter did. Peter was kind of hovering around watching everything that was going on. Until he denied the Lord, but they took a spear and put it, thrust it into his side, and out of it came running, what was it? Blood and water. That's what happens like during a heart congestive heart failure. You know, all that water fills up. And that's partly medically how they die. It's congestive heart failure because eventually, and some people say Jesus died of a broken heart, which I don't know. You might could argue that. I'm not sure. But the thing was, Jesus arrived, and when he told Thomas, he said, look at my hands. And he told him, he said, put your finger there. I don't know if he did. I wonder if he did. I would have been scared to myself. Because, you know, wounds can look pretty ugly. And we know Jesus was beaten to a pulp. We know the beard was literally plucked out of his face, and I'm sure they pulled his hair and ripped it from his head. He would have been horrible looking when he went to the cross. But I think part of him was probably healed, except he left the nail prints as a reminder, and the spear print probably had I don't know if he has the thorn markings of the thorn crown. Maybe he does. He probably has the prints in his feet where they nailed him to the cross. But he tells Thomas, he said, do this. And then he pulled back his robe and he said, and put your finger right here. And I can't imagine what that looked like. And I wouldn't have done it. But what convinced Thomas was all the things that he probably saw that Jesus went through, all he could do was fall on his knees and say, my Lord and my God. And I love what Jesus said after that. He said, blessed are you, Thomas, for you have seen and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. Still believe. And that's where this is. So you have to have faith that he is. And that's why I put that exclamation on the title, because I believe God is. Even when people talk to me about creation and all this stuff, look, you don't have to answer every question they ask. You don't have to know all the scientific means as to how this world came about. When they talk about the Big Bang, we say, well, yeah, that may be how it happened. And they'll say, well, I thought you was a Christian. Well, yeah, but in Genesis it says, and God said. Was it a bang? I wasn't there to see it. I don't know. But anyway, when they talk about things like that, God just spoke it into existence. And I believe that. And the Bible even says, he says he's the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And so therefore you have to, first of all, believe that he is. So you can't even do that unless you have faith. You can't even believe that there is a God unless you have faith. And people get mad at me all the time when they don't believe in God. And they like to say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is a God. Well, actually, they won't even tell you that. They'll say there is no God. Michael, was it you telling me? I think on the first day of school, in class, your teacher spoke up and told the classroom that there is no hell? Yeah. Now, first of all, why do that? It has nothing to do with education. Why stand up and proclaim there is no hell? Well, that's the same as saying there is no God. Yeah, well, look, you know what? And somebody calls it, there's actually a name for it. It's called Pascal's Wager. He said it was better to live as if there is a God than find out later there isn't one. You know, it's better to go ahead and live that there is one. Because if I live as if there is a God and I truly pour my heart and soul into seeking him and living as if there is a God, and let's say it turns out there wasn't one, what's going to happen to me? Nothing. I mean, just same old to everybody else, right? But then, if the person who lives as if there is no God, who has no faith that he even is, that he exists, then what's going to happen to them when it comes time? No, Pascal believed there was a God and that it was better to live that there is one than to find out at the wrong time that there was not a God. Anyway, so here we have to come by faith, believing. And that's the only way we can please him, by the way. It's impossible to please him without it. So if you got areas in your life to where you live as if there is no God, if you don't trust him with your finances, if you don't trust him with your very life, you know, your very life, then you may not be pleasing him as much as you think. You got to have that faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then this is how I want to wrap it up. Not only must you have faith, that's how you please the Lord, but you have to believe that he is. And then the other thing is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why I want to have prayer meetings. I want to have different types of formatted prayer meetings. I don't know exactly how it's all going to go. We don't have to know. The main thing we want to do is seek the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy to be sought, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've mentioned this over and over and over. Seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness, you know, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of righteousness. So all I want to say here is just spend time thinking about, dwelling on, reading about, meditating upon, and thinking about the Lord and what He means to you. Find out if there's areas in your life where you're not putting your whole trust, because I tell you, that's something that can be an eye-opening experience if you start realizing in your life, my life, I'll talk about me. I won't talk about you. I'll talk about me. I found that there were areas in my life I just wasn't trusting the Lord, like for my job. I can remember when, Glenn remembers, we worked at LMAC, and at one particular year, actually, I think we got laid off 3 times in that 1 year. So I went back to school. I went and got some grants and some other means to go back to college. I went to school for so long, 3 years, that I literally missed the first 3 years of Aaron growing up. I would leave early in the morning, 6 o'clock, or be at work by 6, and get home about 11 o'clock after school, every day. And then on the weekends, I would have to study and whatnot. So I had to cram all of that. Guess what? I wasn't trusting the Lord to take care of me. I wasn't trusting in Him to do that. I was trusting in my education. I was trusting in what I could do. Yeah, oh, Lord, You can help me get through all this, but I'm trusting on what I can do and what job I can find after that. And do you know, I'll just tell you this very quickly. 2 opportunities opened up, one at Celanese and one at Inland Motor, for a job. And I put an application in both places. But nobody was calling. I think it had gone like 3 or 4 weeks, and I've gone, and I had this place that I used to go and park my car. It's pretty secluded, you know, and I would pray to the Lord. I'd walk out in the field. I'd pray to the Lord for a job. And I was still working at LMEC at the time. And I was praying for the Lord to help me improve my life, you know, and my family. And it's almost like I heard a voice. I won't swear that I did. But it's almost like I heard a voice say, but where do you want to work? And I'm like, you know, I never really gave it much thought. Well, give it some thought. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, okay, where do I want to work? Do I want to work at Celanese? Because at the time I lived in, might have been Lurich, no, not Lurich, Wayside. So that would have been closer. Or do I want it at Inland, which was in Radford? And I sat there and I pondered for a while. So you know what? I changed my prayer. I said, Lord, I'd like to go work at Inland. Within that week, I got a call. Come interview. After going 3 weeks or more of praying for a job, I finally decided where I wanted to go. And within the week, I got a call to interview. So I went to interview and I got on. The Lord planned it all out. But sometimes we have to just, you know, lay aside doubts like, you know, Lord, any old job, you know, it doesn't matter. No, tell Him what you would like. A man plans his way, I think it's Proverbs, but the Lord directs his steps. We got to remember that. You can plan your way, but ask the Lord to direct your steps. If you would, please stand. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for our time together. And I do thank You, Lord, that prayer works. And Lord, help us to be diligent seekers of You. Help us to believe that You are there and to live a life that trusts You, that surrenders to You on a daily basis. Lord, sometimes we have to just simply get up in the morning and say, Lord, I surrender everything I am, everything I have, and just give it all to You before we even start our day. And so, Lord, I pray that as we seek You in the coming days, Lord, that You will bless us, that you will reward us because we will diligently seek your face and not your hands. Lord, we want more of you. God, I pray that you will flood this place with your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' holy name, amen.